It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's another shadow that is better than having your flight delayed because someone had to have a second dessert. You can join our chat room, the Den Pen. Go to davincomedy.com, click live broadcast. Also, watch us on the Zoom on the Davin's Den Facebook page. Audio is better at davincomedy.com. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt, and it is that 8-week time frame when Pip makes an appearance in studio. Hello, Pip.
Hi, everybody.
How are you?
I am okay.
And Joe will be joining us shortly, not in studio, but from his place, so we'll do that in a second. On the show, Nazi news, when kids doodle swastikas. What could go wrong? In School of Fools, God is putting people on the school board.
Is he?
He does it all, my man. He does it all. I don't even know why I voted a couple weeks ago.
Why? Why even try?
Comics in the news and Joe's pal. Comedian Chrissy Marr has an issue with Dylan Mulvaney's cup size. And audience members have an issue with Chrissy. I feel like there might be three very different opinions on this one.
I'm thinking so, too.
I think there might be three.
I'm
so
sure.
Turbulent air. And it isn't just luggage that's getting weighed at the airport. Your phone is dangerous for your butt. And in Scamming Scammers, we have a brand new love interest for Fake Davin. And I'm going on the record. I'm going on the record. This time I think it's for reals. This one's going to work.
Oh, dear.
What?
Oh, nothing. Nothing.
You're supposed to, you know, you don't love love. That is the problem. That's the difference between you and I. I love love.
And I love that you love love.
You know, you and Joe are just such negative Nellies.
How dare you, sir?
I'm just saying. I feel good about this one. You know, and it's not my fault that these go wrong.
I think you have to say Joe is a negative Nelly to his face.
I will, or to the screen, as the case may be. You know, listen. I just maybe I'm foolish for putting my love in the wrong place. I don't know.
Oh, I think that Joe and I are just very cynical.
Yeah. I mean, now, to be fair, I've had some online relationships with these gals longer than some marriages. To be fair.
That's actually really true.
Exactly. So, you guys can hate away all you want.
I'm drinking the Haterade. No, I'm going to give this one a chance. I want to see what's going on first.
Please. Thank you.
I will just go into it with tabula rasa, a blank slate.
Ah, we'll just have to keep it down because the paycheck is in the next room, and I don't want her to get jealous. The paycheck.
Holy crap! You call her that?
What? No.
No.
The paycheck. Mommy brings home the money.
You know.
So we have to keep it quiet. I don't want her getting jealous that at any moment I could be taking a jet plane.
I bet your side piece.
I've had many side pieces, and, you know, except when they call at 5 o'clock in the morning.
That was the only time that I think that you really got perturbed.
I don't think she's really ever thrilled with it, to be fair.
Really?
Yeah, she doesn't love it.
Really? Well, you know what? You do have a lot of sexy talk going on with some of them. That might be disturbing. Even if it's for play, I don't know if I would be really happy listening to Mr. Helix having a conversation like that with another woman, even if it was not real.
Might not even be a woman.
That's too.
Yeah.
I don't care the gender of the person.
Really? See, that's how liberal you are. That's how woke you are. Pip doesn't care who her man is having a fake relationship with.
Yeah, as long as he's talking with somebody about licking their something, I think that my hackles might get up a little bit.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Even though it all winds up here, it's not like a big secret.
Academically, I'm like, oh, what's the difference? But I think if I was actually sitting in the room and I was hearing, like, sexy talk, even if I knew he was acting, I think the green monster would come out a little bit.
That's fair. There are times when I'm writing it, and then when we get to it, I'm thinking, I don't really want to do this on the air.
Really?
Yeah, well, I do. Well, I mean, I do it because it's part of the story. I also do it because you really enjoy it.
I do.
I mean, the fans, you know, they kind of dig it. But there is a degree that I guess is a window into what my mind could possibly be.
And it feels too personal?
Not too personal, because I know the whole thing is nonsense.
Yeah.
But I guess maybe a little personal, right?
Yeah, I know. Because, well, you know what? As much as, it's like when you're acting a part, as much as you are putting on somebody else's suit, so to speak, it's still you everybody's looking at.
That's what actors say. Like, actors say, I really need to get in the part. And I got to tell you, I never have to hear a fucking actor about their process. I really don't. There is the only thing that might be as boring as hearing an actor talk about their process, mm-hmm. like they're really deep, and that's how they do it for the most part.
I know.
Is watching bad improv. And by saying bad improv, I mean 90% of the improv that you're going to see. Now the good improv, like your Drew Carey and, you know, your Colin Mochrie, that was some really good improv.
It was.
That's as good as you're going to get.
Yeah, and of course they had time to edit.
Yes. But as I've said before, bad improv. You know how people say Saturday Night Live isn't funny anymore? That's bad improv.
Sometimes I get such secondhand embarrassment from their skits going bad. I'm climbing over the back of the chair to get away from it.
So, but I don't want to hear about the process, but you do have a point. I mean, not to talk about the process, but to talk about the process, you do have to leave yourself vulnerable and put yourself in it. Like you and Joe, and this is in the series that I'm writing.
Yeah.
And other people get concerned about me.
Yeah.
Because in order to do, because like, and I've started mentioning this at the comedy shows when I talk about what we do, I go, listen, the scamming scammers, you can go on YouTube and you can see them do it for like a few minutes or a few hours.
Right.
I do this shit for weeks, months, and years. You have to, in order to do this, no matter what, unless they're really bad, you have, even if the story is complete nonsense,
mm-hmm.
you have to put yourself in there.
Yeah.
So for the one of the ones I'm dealing with now, Kim. I'm dealing with Kim. She's in the military in Yemen. They like being in Yemen. So, like, she hasn't heard this yet. Today I'm kind of blowing her off because, you know, today was the money ass, so we had to up the nonsense.
Yeah.
But I have a daughter with Down syndrome.
Oh.
There was an issue last night at her work. And I have fabricated this whole story that I will unload on her that is completely not me at all. But when I'm sitting there typing, I have to put a little bit of me in it.
You have to have that human touch, which you're going to get from, like, dragging up stuff. When I was taking an acting class...
Uh-oh, Pip's going to talk about the process.
well, just in the sense that the acting teacher, one of the lady that actually owned the acting school, if you will, but there are so few students, it was kind of laughable.
You always take the best courses. Acting, comedy, you're right. You're always doing the best.
I know. I do my research.
You most certainly do.
So the person, she sat in for our usual teacher and was talking about, you know, you have to bring up your own pain and use it and stuff. And it's like, I do understand that you're going to try to dig deep for those emotions, but you are trying to show that, but not show your actual, I mean, to me, I was like, not your actual pain, because then you're going to start blubbering.
But that's what they want. I get that. I get that. You got to be in your own head.
Yeah.
I get that. So, like, when I'm doing this stuff, you know, sometimes I get upset. Sometimes I get angry. Like, I get angry when they ask. It's like, really, man? Things are going so well. Why are you asking for money? Come on now. Why are you doing your job? I thought we had something here. It's always, it's every time, unless they're boring, and then, as you guys have seen, I tell them they have to step up. But if they're not boring me, it's every time it's very disappointing, even though I know it's coming. There's always a little part of me that's sad that it's over, which is ridiculous.
Well, it's like, here's this building up a relationship, and it's like, oh, here we are.
And what's weird about this is, every time I embark on this, I know how it's going to end. Like, that's the difference between this and, like, a real relationship. If you start seeing someone and talking to someone consistently, you don't know how it's going to go. I know absolutely how this is going to go. Now, I don't know every twist and turn, but I know what's going to be the downfall of this relationship.
I mean, from what we've seen in the past, for sure you don't know every twist and turn, because people will pull stuff out of crevices they didn't know they had. And it's like, what? What now? What did you just...
Well, yeah, I plan what they're going to say, and they say something different. Now, here's the interesting thing. I've been with the Paycheck since before I started comedy.
Yes.
And obviously since before I started this. But I think, God forbid, if she ever got smart enough and wanted to invest in somebody who also was a Paycheck, if she ever got smart enough, I am so damaged from doing this. Like, if I was dating somebody in real life, yeah, and they asked me for money, immediately, oh, here we go. Oh, yeah, you're a scammer. She's sitting right there. No, she's a scammer.
Yeah, no, it's like, no, she's real. This is not a Ghanaian man. It's like, yeah, no, she asked for the money. Oh, yeah.
So I'm having somebody review the script. Person, and the person who referred him to me is like, you know, I sent him as payment gift cards, and now gift cards mean something completely different to me. Oh, here we go. I got to get the Steam gift card. The
I know.
So it's weird. Like, I know what I'm dealing with, but it seeps into the real world. I definitely could not online date. Like, if I had an online relationship and for some reason they couldn't video chat,
you would be up in arms.
Now,
who are you?
What's really a shame is, you know, I have... So, this show with Belinda did something that nobody in the scamming world had seen before. When she came clean, and we still don't know why she did when she did.
That was...
This is 2013,
amazing.
I think it was. And we had the face-to-face. I, in the past couple of weeks, have had something new that I don't think anybody's ever seen before either. Now, of course, now I video everything where I can, so we can use it for the show.
Yeah.
What's interesting now, and I won't necessarily say what that is, but what's interesting now is with the Instagram and the Google chat, and they call a lot, which was never a thing before.
No.
So they will call me a lot, but I don't have my stuff set up. Right. So I'm blowing them off a lot. Yeah, and I don't want to do it when anybody's here, because in case they need me for something, that doesn't jive with the story.
With your persona, right. Yeah.
So I got to do it in like...
Oh,
like,
the super's here. There's a leak.
You know, listen, there are real things that happen in the house, and they have every right to need me for them.
Yeah.
But it's inconvenient if I'm doing nonsense with the scammer, so I got to make sure everybody's out of the house. So, yeah, I could talk to you at, such and such time. This will be a good time. Since, in the ones coming up, I guess in the next few years or whatever, you will see, I'll be like, and they tried to call, and they tried to call, and I don't pick up.
Yeah.
Which before, you would never get them to call.
No. I mean, they would really, come up with any reason why.
Right.
Well, I mean, the last one, she was like, well, I can't call you because I don't have money, so you have to send me the money so I can talk to you, my love.
So, all right, so let me pose this to you. Yeah. Do I reveal the thing that nobody's ever seen before? I shouldn't say nobody. From people I've spoken to, haven't seen before. Or do I just wait until we get to it years from now and enjoy it then? And by the way, it's possibly... Oh, Joseph T. Curry's there. It's possibly in my script, a variation of it.
you know, not knowing what the item is, it's kind of difficult to make that call.
Well, obviously.
Yeah.
Hey, Joe.
I mean, I'm ten.
Joe?
Joe's on the moon.
I see Joe. I don't hear Joe. he hasn't spoken yet?
He's still...
All right.
He's still working on the command center desk.
Speak, stupid.
Hey!
There he is! And he listens to commands. Hello, sir. How are you?
How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. So I will bring you into the conversation that I am having with Pip. So a couple weeks ago, we're talking about... scammer antics. So a couple of weeks ago, I experienced something with a scammer that I don't think anybody's ever seen before. At least not that. And I asked a few people, you know, kind of like years ago, the whole Belinda thing, the way that played out at the time, nobody had seen it. So I have everything recorded and I'm taking my notes and I have all the transcripts and I have the audio and this, that, the other thing. The question is to you and Pip, do I tell you guys this thing that I don't think anybody's ever experienced now, or do we just wait until we cover it whenever the hell we cover it years from now?
It depends, you know. It's up to you. I mean, we can cover it a couple of years. You can let us know. Is it going to be in the project that you're doing?
Well, I will say the person's name is in the pilot. Now Pip has not gotten that far yet. Pip is halfway through the pilot, like it's War and Peace, not the character, the literal book.
Listen, I'm in the middle of living my own telenovela.
Yes,
I haven't had time.
So again, the question is: do we just sit on this and, you know, we'll get to it when we get to it, or do you guys want to know this thing that nobody's ever really seen before that I'm dealing with? And I won't go into depth about how it has played out since then. But I was like, whoa, this is different.
Well, you can give the Reader's Digest version.
I can't.
No.
I can't because the thing that's different is the whole point of telling the story. I don't want to go through, oh, and then we talked about this and we talked about that. There's one very specific detail that is different than I've seen before. And I've been doing this over a decade.
No, I think that you should wait until we get to that story because that will be a significant part of that story.
Fair enough. So, Joe, mark it down. In April of 2027, we will get to this.
Bye.
So, yeah. So, anyway, yeah, the script is going well. I look forward to Joe's feedback on the latest version. I look forward to Pip getting through it. But I will say this. Everybody loves the premise. That's the thing. Nobody goes to me and goes, yeah, we've seen this before. Nobody has said that.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I think that is going to help us.
That's awesome.
And nobody's seen the topic discussed in this way, and nobody has seen a dramatic, comedic, and informative and somewhat biographical piece before.
Don't you find that with people, the kind of people that accept submissions, they don't really feel comfortable with anything unless they can have the quick pitch? Like, it's this meets this.
All right, so the way Sean, who's my co-writer, and I describe it. First of all, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. But it's kind of like Barry and Breaking Bad in the fact that it's like it's dramatic, but there are comedic aspects to it.
What's Barry?
Barry is a Bill Hader show on HBO.
Oh, okay.
So this is the final season of that. So he's a hitman. So there are very dramatic scenes, but there's also some funny scenes and some slapstick.
I get it, yeah.
So this, again, Pip hasn't gotten through it, Joe has. This has, like, the start of this thing, of the pilot, you can't get more dramatic than that.
Yeah.
And it's taken directly from this show,
yeah,
which happened in my basement when the three of us were there, mm-hmm, and a guest. So you can't get more dramatic than that. But there's a lot of silliness in there. And I make sure I drop a lot of information to help people in,
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
So nobody's seen that before. So what we Joe, I was telling Pip before the show is we are one gatekeeper away from a top HBO executive. If this gatekeeper, yeah, so if this gatekeeper likes it, this gatekeeper will personally deliver it to this HBO executive. So far what we got going for us is that we actually have a script instead of an idea. I guess a lot of times ideas are pitched, and I guess it's kind of the format that they're doing a lot of, that's popular now. So we have that going for us.
Well, just make sure you got plenty of log lines, because basically at the end of the script, it's like, well, where do you go from here?
Well, yeah, that's it, Joe. You haven't read the latest version, but we put like outlines of the next seven episodes, because people that was a critique. Okay, but I don't need to see more. Where is this going?
So
Sean and I sat down, and you know, we wrote it out, and you guys are involved in it, and you know, there's a possibility Pip takes a heel turn. Is Pip being a heel, or is Pip being a good person? So there is that aspect of it in there as well.
Awesome.
Because in the first episode, Joe's the heel.
Ooh.
Well, yeah, in the whole compound scene, Joe is definitely the heel.
I've only gotten to the nubile showing up,
And that is a slapstick thing, the visual we created.
You were like...
yeah, with the girls running by. And again, the only variation from that being the truth is they didn't actually come down and run by us. They were waiting by the pool. That's the only difference on what really happened that night.
When I started, I tell you, to use a Howard Sternism, I started getting douche chills from thinking about being in the room and all of us three heads in a row, and I'm monitoring the chat and going, look at these bastards talking about us. Oh my God.
And that was a later edition where I went back and I wrote specific names tied into the Opie and Anthony show that those fans would know.
Yep.
And the horrible things they would say to us, and they said horrible things to all of us. Even Joe could not escape the horribleness that
he tells horrible things to me this day.
Oh.
They say to me, "I should die." Why does Anthony have Joe Curry? Yeah, they're not nice people.
Well, they're consistent. Yeah. They're consistent of nothing else.
Consistently awful.
But so that took you back. I created a good picture for that.
Yeah, because all of a sudden I was sitting there going, oh, God.
I think one of the characters we named was like Voss's speech impediment.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so that was, and again, that was not in the original version, the details, the messages. It was just like, you know, Pipsy's horrible things.
Oh.
But we went back, and I think that really creates what we were under.
Yeah. The pressure.
Yeah.
And also the, you know, kind of an us against them kind of situation, because we're trying to battle through and do clever and funny, and there's just die coming at you from the audience.
It was very stressful.
I'd rather they throw fruit again.
it was very stressful. So, yeah, so there's like, oh, you know, how you gonna write, you know, more episodes, more seasons? A lot of this shit really happened. And that's what it was. For years, people have been telling me to do something with this, and I was just sitting back, and I really go, my God, this really is a remarkable journey. It's like the nonsense that I've seen and done, and in some cases we've done and seen, and the serious things and the impact. And at the end, and on the weekends, I'm playing saloons, telling dick jokes. Well, I don't really have a lot of dick jokes. I shouldn't say that. I don't have a lot, but I'm telling ha-ha's.
I'm playing saloons till like you're on after the dancing girls. Bring the dancing girls back on. Yeah, even though he's got a cowboy hat, it looks like one of us. But get now.
Like, is that out of the realm of possibility that might have happened?
Now, as long as you're wearing cowboy hats, it isn't.
I mean, this weekend, and I'll plug it at the end of the show, Joe. This weekend, I'm playing a bar/bistro inside of a gym. Who knew such a thing existed? So, yes, Joe, it's very possible that I could have gone on after the dancing girls.
That is a combo I have not heard about yet.
Nor have I. I'm sure we'll have spectacular results.
I always thought it would be a great idea to have a bar and laundromat combo, and I understand that people have done it.
Yeah, well, Joe actually tried to get booked in a laundromat that was doing comedy, and they needed a tape.
God's honest truth, I go in there, right? It was called Spin Cycle Laundry down by the Bowery.
Yeah.
So I go in there, and you walk in, and there's like a couple of bums sleeping there, somebody doing their wash. And I go, yeah, here you do a comedy shows like on Tuesdays. What? Oh, yeah. And I'm like, all right, how we go? Well, we need to see a tape. I go, a laundromat? I go, thank God you're not a dry cleaner. I need management. So there was a guy, well, do you know anybody that could recommend you? And at the time, there was this guy, Jeff Schneider, who everybody knew him. He knew everybody. I go, you know Jeff? Oh, yeah, we know Jeff. We'll talk to Jeff. nothing ever came, but yeah.
Joe dropping names to play the second rinse of the delicates.
I had to, and I had to find somebody that everybody knew, and Jeff was like the norm of comedy back then. Everybody knew him, he knew everybody, so it's like, you know Jeff? Oh, yeah, we know. Right.
Now, Joe wasn't even brand new at this point. Joe was regularly emceeing places. I mean, Joe was a working comic at this time, so it's not like he's been doing this 3 weeks.
Yeah. And a laundromat, I mean, there's bums sleeping in the fucking place. And, well, we need to see it. And, tape, are you out of your mind? And believe me, I don't think who I am, but there are sometimes you got to draw the line with shit, you know?
God, I wish there were social media, and I wish Joe would have gotten the spot. I would have loved to have seen Stupid promote that on Facebook.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. I'll be playing the laundromat.
There's some guy on, I think on, where the hell is he? He's on Twitter. And I push my gigs. Plug, plug, plug. So I was pushing my gigs. I was like, oh, well, you're not at Governor's this week? And I'm like, no, but I'll keep you posted. I'll specifically you, too.
No, I'm at Uncle Vinny's this week. It's an Uncle Vinny's week. What's wrong with you?
Well, you know what, Braggart? I'm playing the recycling center next weekend.
So. Oh, wow. How many references did you have to get for that gig?
Well, you know, I had to divide all my recyclables, green, blue, white, brown.
Well, you know, I believe Pips could play that recycling center. I've seen her act, although I don't think any of it should be recycled. It should definitely be disposed of.
Yeah, we can't take that.
Put things out.
Yes.
No plastics in the glass.
Well, the good thing is the punchline bin always stays fairly empty.
Well, you know what, though? They're all worth 5 cents.
No. No. No, I wish they were, dear.
5 cents! Give me a nickel!
No! I mean, some of the stuff, sure, I'll give you a dime. Even a quarter. Some of the stuff, PU, it should see itself out.
Well, that's because you don't rent.
The 7 minutes of shit we could do without.
Oh.
That should have gone to the compound center. Not the compost center. Not the compound.
Not
stupid.
The compound center.
Screwing up jokes. All right. So, speaking of composting, tell us your life.
Oh, my God.
I'm here. You're God.
The bizarre saga of my dead brother's ex-wife.
How long ago has your brother passed?
A year.
And this is still going on. Is that normal?
No. No.
What's the normal for this?
Oh, I don't know that there is an exact normal.
Thank you, Joe. You know what, Joe? With jokes like that, I could see you playing the delegates.
Jesus, he'd been back in 3 days, and he looked at me and said, you know, I'm out of here again. Sorry.
Okay.
Sometimes, I don't know because I'm not an expert on...
But I figure the people who are handling your stuff...
We don't talk about that. But, I mean, this is dragged on. But now we're at a really weird juncture. Because without getting into too much of the nitty and the gritty of their agreement, but they had this bizarre agreement that even though they divorced, they were staying in the same two-family house, they still both owned the house, and they had an agreement in their divorce proceedings saying that they would split the mortgage and the upkeep of the house. Okay.
Yeah, we know that. Yeah.
So, as the executor, I ended up having to pull money out of my ass to pay half her mortgage until she was able to refinance the house. So that
did she get it at the lower rates from, like, last year?
I no, she just did it.
Oh,
she just got done.
Oh, that's so, not good.
So ouchie. Yeah, no. But this is the real fun one, is that her kids were all born to her before they met. And my brother didn't adopt them. But now she's mad at me. So she has decided that her oldest son should have been the executor. So she did not somehow.
Your brother never named you as the executor.
No, because he didn't leave a will.
Right. Okay.
Which was great.
Do you have a will?
No, that's my next step.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I got to get one, too. I croak. Who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah. So, no, it's like, well, I mean.
It's going to be a free-for-all in the keyboard room, Joe. Brace yourself.
No, Joe Cumia gets all of that.
Oh, well, look at that. He's already picked out shit.
He's already set. Well, I mean, you know.
I'll get all the premises that Joe never wrote a punchline for.
They're in the other drawer. All right.
You got to finish them off.
The file cabinet outside with bits.
It's the file cabinet bit. It'll be good for fire pit season.
The file cabinet is the file and they would fit. That's yours.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I mean, you know, for my life it's easy. It's I have a husband, he gets all my crap. And vice versa. So.
Somehow I don't feel he wants it. But,
no, he does not want the crap.
But anyway. All right, so it would seem, since you're the only blood relative alive, and you are the next of kin.
I am the next of kin.
That you would be the executor.
Right.
And I'm guessing most lawyers would say that.
Yeah, well, that's how I got in this predicament.
Which you didn't ask for.
I did not want.
But you probably are glad that you did have, because you didn't want her handling the shit.
Right.
Gotcha.
Because... But why do they always call it next of kin? Like everybody's a hillbilly. Yeah, I want some of that there, Uncle Clam. I'm next of kin.
It's not next of kindling.
And I've got a third grade education. I can read that right there. I'm next of kin. I want what's coming to me.
It's nice to see Dick Eldorado make a cameo.
I think that was Yosemite Sam.
I think it's pretty much the same character.
So, all right. So, I'm it. Well, when it came time to get the money from the refinancing... She decided that she was going to, instead of giving my brother's estate the money for half of it, minus expenses that we'd agreed on, she sold it to her son.
She sold
the
what?
The house to her son.
But she can't.
One would think.
Because you own the other half.
You're right.
So what lawyer signed off on this?
One who picked a really bad title company. It wasn't her original lawyer who knew all the true parts of the adventure.
So she went lawyer shopping.
She went to a new lawyer and she said, this is it. This is his son. He's getting the other half of the house. Somehow the title company totally missed that the guy who owned the half of the house is dead and there's an estate in play.
Is that something they should pick up?
Oh, my God, yes.
Okay.
Oh, my God, yes. So she commit.
So now this title company could potentially get sued, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The title company screwed up, and they submitted this to the bank when they did the refinancing in order for him to get the money. So it's bank fraud.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. It's fraud. So now the bank is on the hook to you, and the bank is going to go after her.
Yeah, and I forgot something. Obviously, when you get a mortgage, you have to go through underwriting. I did a couple of the refi. I don't know if you have to go through underwriting with a refi. I don't know if you look at everything like that.
I don't
or
know.
What about probate court? The probate court has to know about that, too.
Yeah. Well, we're not probating a will because there is no will.
Right. Okay.
So this is different.
So now you're going to go after, theoretically, it's going to cost you more up front, but you're going to win. You got to go after the title company and the bank, and the bank and the title company are going to go after her. So she is going to be in a worse place than she ever could have imagined, and she's got her son roped into this because he signed the documents.
Yep.
Wow.
And yeah. I work up an amount that you feel you're owed, and I get your lawyer, and you have the lawyer go, everything all right, we're going to go to court. Or you fess up with this amount.
Well,
she doesn't have it, Joe.
Here's the ugly part. if I have to sue any of these people, the attorney that I've been working with is an estate attorney, not a litigator.
Okay.
I would have to go spend money on another lawyer.
Yeah, no, you're gonna have to spend the money to get the money.
Yep.
I mean, even if it means taking out a home equity loan to pay it off, you got to do that. Because, I mean, well, first you're going to have the consultation, which will cost you either nothing or a few hundred bucks.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to bring all the paperwork with you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to find out to me it sounds like a slam dunk, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what, because this all just happened. Just happened.
She did all of this to try to, like, get the house out from under you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, see,
how does she? I guess she's stupid. What do you think? He's just going to sit there and go, okay, you know? Well, you're blatantly breaking the law.
It's astounding to me. So, well, here's the thing. So, the attorney sends me an email and goes, "Yeah, this just happened." And I call her and I'm like, "What now?" And she said, "Yeah, we were shocked too." So, so then she asked me to provide her with a couple of things, and she's like, she's getting questions from the ex's attorney, and she says, did he have three sons? No, not unless he was able to father them in El Salvador before they met. No.
And he never adopted them.
And he never adopted them. So no, that's why I'm in this pickle. I'm the next of kin. So then, you know, she did that, and they're like, how did this get past anybody in the title company? How did they miss?
I'll tell you what, somebody's going to lose a job.
Hold on for a second, guys. Now, who was saying that? The lawyer was saying that?
Yeah.
Okay, so it sounds like you got a case. I mean, if friends and us are saying that, you know, but if your lawyer is saying that, then you got a potential case there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, this is she's not going to get away with this. But now she's pulling out all the stops. So just today, now this is crazy. I know this is crazy, but this is the situation that my brother was living with, partially because he didn't do anything about it. He allowed this to all happen. But
he thought he was going to live forever and it was never going to be an issue, like many of us do.
Yeah. No, but what I'm about to tell you. So, because they lived in a two-family house, and he became disabled because he lost his foot due to undiagnosed and uncared for diabetes. For reasons, he just never really got out of the house much. He was kind of like, he made himself a prisoner in his own home. He did get out occasionally, but not much. Now, he had her youngest son living upstairs with him because she threw him out of the house when he told her he was gay. So, this is an important bit. She threw her son away because he came out. And then there was an extra bedroom upstairs. She had a friend of hers rent out that room from my brother. So there was this strange lady living in his part of the house.
While he was alive.
While I was alive.
You never told me that.
Yeah, it was super weird. And so the strange lady lives there.
Still.
No, this is the story. So she was living there with him and paying rent, but I don't know to who. I never got that part.
Well, there'll be a receipt somewhere, you would think.
I would have to look into it. But
well, this lady's going to get roped into this shit.
I didn't think it had anything to do with this until today. Because she, the ex, sent a demand to the estate of, now she's been told she screwed up. So now we're back to she's against me because it's the estate of my brother. She wants half of rent money for the room upstairs. Now, here's the problem. Nobody's been renting that. There's nobody up there. Nobody. I'm paying half the mortgage, so you would think...
Well, why doesn't she go after her son? I mean, if you're using her logic, her son is now the executor and owns half the house. Why doesn't she go after her oldest son?
Right,
by
right.
Law, yes.
So you can't have both. You can't have me be the executrix bitch that you're going to try to nickel and dime for everything and have the son be it. So she's trying everything. So now she sent a letter to the estate looking for half of the rent. But here's the thing. That room was rented to this random lady that was her friend. Now, when I was cleaning stuff out of my brother's apartment in May of last year, the lady came over to me and she was like all condolences and whatever. And then while we were chatting, she said, what's going to happen to the food in the freezer that was his and the all the cans of soup on the shelf? Like, because she just wanted to know. She's a lady that's down on her luck. She's renting a room from a stranger. And she's like, what's going to happen with the food? And I said, help yourself.
Right.
Well, then the ex takes me aside and goes, what did she want? And I said, oh, she asked me what's happening with the stuff in the freezer and the cans. And I said she could help herself. So she looked like, oh. A week later, she tells me that she threw the lady out because she didn't like that she asked for the fucking soup.
No soup for you!
No soup for you, Repta!
If she got rid of the woman as a tenant, how come she is demanding rent when you got rid of them?
That's a good point.
Thank you! Thank you.
Good point, Counselor Kerr.
And that room...
You had them leave, and now you want rent.
And now you
find another tenant.
So my attorney says to me,
that you didn't let them go. It was your decision. It was her decision.
My attorney says to me, are you renting the upstairs and collecting rent? And I'm like, no. And then I tell her the story about the soup. And I'm like, so he was living there and the lady was living there? And I'm like, yeah, that's the situation he found himself in, that she rented a room out to a stranger. I don't know.
Where was the gay son living?
In the other bedroom.
So this was a three-bedroom.
One of the living rooms... The living room was being used as a bedroom.
Oh, what a clusterfuck.
Yeah, so there's no living room. There's three Ugh. Rooms, and they're all three of them are living upstairs in hell.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about, you know, with the lawyer being involved. Obviously, with my divorce, it's not the same thing you're going through, but in the thing it was, is that Joanne said that she's not going to sign... she's not going to sign off the house to the new owners until she gets a certain amount. She's not going to do it. Also, any expenses that she paid towards utilities, I had to refund her. I signed it because I had no choice because I'm almost in bankruptcy, blah, blah, blah. So she presents this all to the mediator, and the mediator goes, here's the agreement. You're entitled to nothing. Here it is in writing where the house was sold for this, blah, 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 blah. You're entitled to nothing. So my point is that you have a person that is assuming in their mind what the law is without understanding what the law is.
Well, she probably can't afford an attorney to walk her through this process.
She's had two.
Well, all right, maybe not good attorneys. I don't know. She sounds like the Trump of El Salvador. She can't keep a good attorney. Hey Joe, do me a favor. Get Giuliani on the phone. I got a gig for him.
I think in this woman's mind, well, she was going to give away food, so I just had to leave the tenant. Now I don't have a tenant. She's got to come up with the rent for the tenant, and that's crazy law.
It's
but
like,
in the mind of that, it's so you're thinking out. So let me what. Judge or mediator will look at that and go, yeah, that makes perfect sense to me.
Well, you know what, Joe?
Just like a fucking kangaroo that would agree to that.
Since nobody will stick up for the ex here, I will. In her defense, Campbell's tomato soup is excellent.
No. We're talking Progresso.
Oh, that's not cheap stuff.
I know.
I mean, you could get like the vegetarian stuff, like the lentil soup. You once in a while used to be able to get that on sale for 99 cents a can, but I mean, most times that's going to be $3-4. There's a fortune in that Progresso soup, and you just let it walk out the door.
Yeah,
that
was Progresso soup's around about $3.50 a can, maybe $3.69.
It's expensive and it's good stuff, so I know. Oh, I have yeah, soup.
Slow down, kids. It's not good stuff. It's okay.
It's good for soup.
Campbell's Chunky is better, but, you know.
I mean, it's fine. We have lots of cans of Progresso downstairs. Gotta tell you, nobody ever eats it.
You do.
We're finding common ground so we can negotiate the price on the soup.
Well, why not? We did it with Oreos and Hydrox and Famous Amos and Scrunchy. Why wouldn't we do it with soup?
I'm going to go.
We'll adjourn at lunch and then we'll figure
I'm walking through the garage on my way out now that I know there's soup down there.
Soup downstairs in the basement, the pantry.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Good to know.
Yeah, you thief. Anyway, go on.
So here's the rub. How can you be asking me as the executor of the estate for half of the mortgage, which would cover half of the house, which he used to live in, and then also ask me for half of the rent that nobody is paying in his half of the house?
You can't.
You can't.
It's the law in this old woman's mind. You know, she thinks that, you know, she walks around, everything has to be her way, so she gets away with it. But meanwhile, she's doing the same thing, not realizing that, no, it doesn't work this way. This is the, you know, it's the law that you're a co-executive. You can't do this. But you know what? It happens a lot. You know, look, a lot of times in families, like my ex, I used to sit there and listen to them argue when mommy goes, you know, I'm going to get this one. When daddy goes, I'm going to get mine. And I told my wife, I said, hey, look, you better make sure everything is in order. And because let me tell you, some of your parents go, it's going to be like Dodge City. And when they went, it was like Dodge City. So much so that my ex-sister, Lord God rest her soul, she's telling my wife, oh, Joe's looking for money. That's what I go, let me tell you, I told you from the start, I don't want to look like the brother-in-law in for something. I'm not. And however, I loaned your sister money. She owes me money. How am I the money-grubbing brother-in-law when you owe me? So it gets fucking crazy.
So Pip,
yeah, it does.
So Pip, is the end game when this gets itself sorted out, you own the house, you sell the house?
No.
You don't want to sell the house?
No, she's staying in the house.
Why? Why wouldn't, since you're the next of kin, why wouldn't you just sell the house and get her out of your life?
No. They owned half and half of the house.
Did she ever pay for half of it?
Yeah.
When they bought it?
Yeah. So she owned half. They co-owned.
So why doesn't she sell it and pay you off and get you out of her life?
Or just go to the lawyer. This, and this. This is what we want. Buy us out. If not, we're taking it to court. And what's going to happen? We're going to win, and you have to pay your lawyer's fees and our lawyer's.
Well, slow down, because when
what we want, let us know what you want to do.
No, when this happened, when this was sent over to my lawyer, they're like, they sent a letter back to her second attorney saying, there's an estate in play, this is fraud, and we're letting the bank know, and we're letting the title company know that you're all fucked. This can't happen. And so there are things in play.
When was this letter sent to her lawyer?
I think last Monday.
All right.
So there's
you know how this stuff takes time with lawyers. It takes time, and you got to get back, and the clerk is out there. So yeah, but that's fantastic because they don't have a leg to stand on. They broke the law, and you know what? Everybody's gotta go to court. The bank's gotta go to court. The title company, because everybody dropped the ball on this, on somebody that was pulling a fast one that is assuming in their mind what the law is.
She just made up out of whole cloth. Now, emotionally, he felt like they were his sons, but legally, they were not in any way. Now, here's the thing. Because they both owned the house, they agreed in their divorce proceedings that they were going to continue co-owning the house and paying for everything down the middle. But now that he's dead, the estate owned half, she outright owned the other half. So the plan was she refinances. She makes the estate whole for the amount, the appraisal, minus what the mortgage was, half of the mortgage, and some expenses that some were true and some she connived, so that the estate has to pay her back. And I agreed with them because, oh, hell. It was ugly. Anyway, so, but now, once the estate gets that money, I have to set up a bank account, and I have to pay back myself, because I, a person who should not have been involved, has been laying out somebody else's half a mortgage that I didn't expect to have to come up with out of my ass.
That's crazy.
It was crazy.
You're paying two mortgages right now.
Yes.
Or one and a half mortgages.
One and a half mortgages.
It's a burden on you. And believe me, I had to go through probate with, you know, when my mom passed away. I had a ledger. I had to keep record. You know, and I'm very meticulous with that stuff. So, you know, when that bad. But still, it's, you know, it's a big to-do. When you have to write checks, you got to be accountable. Your lawyer wants to see what you're writing checks on. The county does, you know, so you got to have all your ducks in a line. That's why when this woman, you know, assumes that she's going to do her own law, it don't work that way. Nope.
Yeah, she's just close. She's close. Just like, oh, we're taking all the money and running. No, bitch.
No.
I am due back money.
You know, Joe, men have died.
Men have died. and women will die.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm owed money. I have to be paying an attorney to do all this stuff that has to do with his estate, not my thing. And I had, you know, had to pay for an appraiser. We had to have
Thank God you had this money that you could lay it out. Otherwise, it really would have been an issue.
I have been scraping to get together the money to send her the mortgage.
What happens if you don't pay it?
Then... if she couldn't make the mortgage payments by herself, then what? We're default on the mortgage? Lose that major asset? No.
I might do it out of spite.
No, you would not. It's too much money.
Yeah, but you think about what you're laying out in the stress.
You know what? You look at it and it's like, you know what? Let it default to a short sale. You know, pay everything off and then leave it at that. If she can't keep up with the money, is up. But she might sue you. As an executor of the state, with not keeping up on the bill. So, you know, that's, once again, looking at your own law.
But if her son's the executor, why isn't he paying the other half?
Well, because she only came up with this wrinkle a year in.
So you're free and clear from now on. Have him pay for it.
No, see, the thing is, the whole thing we were waiting for was for her to refinance and the money to come over to the estate.
It was smart for her to wait till it went up 2%.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
You're lucky. Those days are gone. Those days ended about 2 years ago.
No, I'm saying it went from like about 3%, you know, for a mortgage to about 5%, give or take.
I was at the high threes when I got my house.
Yeah. We're at like 299, whatever. Anyway,
the end days is over.
So the thing is that it's like, you can't just decide the whole house is yours and the estate doesn't exist or he's going to be the thing. Okay, well, I got to get my money. There are medical bills that have to be paid. He had credit card debt that has to be paid. There's taxes to be paid. Yada, yada, yada. It's not just me that she screwed. But it's like doing this through the bank. Is this not bank fraud? She pretended like an estate didn't exist. So I'm like, I am just...
The house is going to wind up getting sold because she's now in she's so much in over her head that she's not going to have anything left. She has fucked herself.
She fucked herself doing this stupid shenanigans. I wanted her to keep the house, live there. I don't care. You make your payments. I don't care. I walked away from that house once. You know, it's like ridiculous. But the thing was, she was having a holy conniption because she's like, my brother would have left the money to his sons if he had made out a will. Well, first of all,
but he didn't. Sorry,
he may have done, but she didn't know my intentions. But I didn't talk to her about any of that because they're all grown ups, and it's none of her goddamn business. She's the ex-wife. Number one, number two, the gay son she threw out of the house. Was she really going to give him any money? If she was running the estate, really? So,
yeah.
You know, so I have to pay the bills, and whatever's left, if there's anything left, I was going to see how much each one of the sons should get, and I would keep some for myself. I'm not a dope, but I would do that. But I didn't discuss it with her because it's between the estate and the boys. It's not her business. But she was so desperate that her kids should get some money. And it's like, Yeah, so she got one of them involved in fraud, and the one that she threw out of the house, yeah, she was going to set him up. Yeah, right.
All right, there we go. That's been Pips 2 weeks. All right, let's take our first break. When we come back, we'll tell you in Nazi news, oh, about some darling children that were just doodling some swastikas in class, but it wound up worse for the teacher. We'll tell you about that. We'll tell you how a Disney movie can get you fired in Florida. Oh, fucking Florida. So we got that. We'll tell you how pooping, sitting on the toilet too long can hurt your butt. Well, we got Joe's friend making headlines as a comedian, doing the Dylan Mulvaney stuff. I was telling Pip before the show, so that's Pip's blog, so she'll get first crack at it. I think this might be the rare story, this comics in the news with Dylan Mulvaney, with Chrissy Maher, where there might be three different opinions. I think it's very possible that there are going to be three different opinions on this story.
It could be.
Yeah. So we got a lot of stuff to cover. But on the break, we got Billy the Kid and the Regulators, Billy the Kid and the Regulators with Ain't No Fun, and you can learn more about them at IndianInc.com, and we have new music from DJ, from BVR and DJ Combo with Yeah Flute theme, and you can learn more about them at khb-music.de. Stay for the music. Come back for us.